Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
So I'm already laughing because I know our listeners are already going to be in for a good time. You know, we're going to be chatting about understanding diverse perspectives, advocating for kindness and equality for all with our friends from Heart and Paw. Dr. Audrey Weaver's in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, friend. How are you?
So good to see you, hear from you. I've heard nothing but wonderful things, and it's such an honor to have you on the show.
That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so excited for the listeners to learn more about you. So listen up, everybody. So a little bit about our friend, Dr. Weaver. She was born and raised in North Carolina. Dr. Raheo. She received her BS degree in animal science, pre-veterinary medicine from Virginia State University, and then went on to obtain her DVM medicine at Tuskegee University in 2014. Right. Give a shout out, right?
That's right.
After graduating, Dr. Weaver completed a one-year ER-focused rotating internship in Chandler, Arizona, then continued working as an emergency critical care veterinarian in Arizona and Maryland until 2021. Some of Dr. Weaver's veterinary interests include educating clients, fear-free, low-stress handling techniques, pain management, fluid resuscitation, wound care, radiology, ultrasonography, and chronic kidney disease and management. Don't you just love our profession that we have to do? You can find all these cool, right?
Yeah, we don't have to compartmentalize. We can actually learn it all and be really great doctors. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I love that. So I love that you shared that. And so she works so hard with her fur children. Listen to the names, everyone. Marilyn, who she has an elderly schnauzer. Ozil. Ozeal, middle-aged dachshund mix, heyo. Talua, a long-haired kitty goddess, of course. And wait, tell me what the other one, who's the adorable hearing
impaired. His name is Rhaegal Dracarys. It's a Game of Thrones shout out. He's a dragon. He's from the House of Dragons. So yes, Rhaegal Dracarys, he can't hear, he's fearless. Yes, he's perfect.
So that's House of Dracarys. Which house was that?
Targaryen.
Targaryen, oh, the good one too. Mm-hmm. So when she's not attending to her flock, you can find her building Lego creations, watching anime, MCU, Harry Potter, reading manga.
It's manga? Japanese comic book.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically a nerd stuff.
Anything I love all this stuff.
Wait, anything nerd related.
Tell me more about Legos. I mean, what is it so much? I love that.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I was never into Legos when I was a kid. I had this impression that it was like a boy thing. And so then my mom, you know, wasn't having all the pieces all over the place because then it was well known that you stepped on a Lego, it's pretty much going to ruin your day. So I didn't have Legos growing up. But then as I got older, I started with a small set, especially in my internship and like doing emergency work. I would get so stressed that I needed some kind of outlet. And, coloring books were one, but Legos were one where I can just zone out. I can be in my moment. I can create exactly what I'm seeing. And, you know, because I'm a grown up and want to look at it, I just sit it on the mantle and let it be pretty. My nephew will try to come and take it apart and try to rebuild stuff, but that's not how we do things.
Right.
And we sit and we look at it. And then we get more pretty things. We build those and we sit and look at it. So I have tons of Lego sets, like just in a cabinet on display. They just make me really happy.
Do you have a favorite one? I'm sure it's got to be Harry Potter-ish, right?
Oh, so I have almost the entire Hogwarts setup. I'm running out of space though. So yes, that is one of my faves, but also the Stranger Things set. I have the upside down. So it has like, it kind of reverses. So they're standing on tree branches, but you have like the regular version and then you have the upside down when you flip it. That one was really intense to me. And then I have a kind of vintage Nintendo set with the TV. They have that too, a Lego set where it's like Nintendo Mario cartridge and all of that. So that one was my fave.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's all such good throwbacks there.
Yeah, nostalgia.
I know. Well, I love your energy. I love your personality. It's so infectious. And, you know, about practicing veterinary medicine, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
You know, I through, as you can probably guess, like a lot of the vet field can be overwhelming. And so through my mental health journeys and talking to my therapist and things, I figured out that honing in on like, okay, at the end of your day, you go through your cases and what can you check off? And so my goal was to create like aha moments, you know, because I found that I had develop the skill of breaking down things to where it's understandable, but the client doesn't feel like you're calling them dumb. And so I have been able to create those moments for a lot of clients, some in good, some in bad, but that is like the goal. That's the thing that I can say, okay, I had a good day. I was able to unlock some information for some people. You know, this dog's been dealing with itchiness for years and years, and now I unlocked, you know, this other causes for it that make them want to continue to research and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I use as my goal every day. And it just keeps my mental stable. You know, I feel like I'm still helping. I can still be of service. I think, you know, in the ER world, there's that instant gratification, right? You know, it comes in unstable, you stabilize and it's like, yeah, I did that. But in the GP world, in the general practice world, you know, you may not see that instant gratification immediately. And so it's, you know, I had to find something else to hold on to kind of keep me going. And that one seems to be the thing that really helps. And, yeah. And I like being able to help pet parents do better for their pets, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I love about you as well, that we share in common, is that you find humor to be very therapeutic. And you know, in this profession, sometimes I know you, when you were asked in an interview, you were saying something like you felt like you might have to like hold it back a little bit, like humor, because of what we do, the highs and lows. But tell the listeners a little bit more about that. How important is that with what you do in practice?
Yeah, I mean, I am kind of a self-diagnosed comedian. I have never done stand-up or anything like that, but I like making people laugh, and I like providing happiness for others. So I find that in my, you know, during my appointments, there are ways that I can go about saying that Fluffy is overweight than just saying Fluffy is overweight, you know? And so I may switch it up and say, you know, she's got a little curvature, a little extra curvature here in the waistline. We're gonna do this and this and try to trim it up. Or, you know, I tell parents, hey, I'm not into body shaming. She's just got a little extra fluff. Okay. We're just gonna tweak a little thing. You know, my body's definitely not perfect. So I extend the anti-body shaming to the animals. Yes, that is something I do. It's like I am gonna tell you honestly if your pet is overweight or unhealthy in the weight. However, I feel like there's a way to deliver that with some kindness and some tact so yeah. that they fully receive the information. It's not just like, she's fat, really?
Right.
You know, like judging. Because I mean, we've all been first-time pet parents before, and it's like you're doing all the best you can, but you're getting resources from every different place, and you know, who knows what's legit and what's not. And so it helps to have a kind veterinarian to be able to provide that concrete info, but not shame the pet parents, you know? Right. And so that's kind of my goal is like using a little bit of my natural personality, because I'm naturally silly and you know, I laugh a lot, but using that as part of my day when I feel like in the past, especially just coming out of vet school and internship, I felt like I needed to be rigid. I am Dr. Weaver and this is it. And you are overweight and blah, blah, blah. But people are more relaxed when I'm able to be myself and when I'm able to truly just kind of go with the moment and treat their babies like I treat my babies. I call my patients, you know, my niece or nephew, I go in there and I say, I'm Auntie Audrey. No need to be worried. We start with lovins. We get the lovins out the way before I do my job. But, you know, I treat them like I treat my best friend's dogs when I go over there. I'm TT Audrey. I'm Auntie Audrey. I go in, I get on the floor. I love on them. They're usually nervous. You know, since 2020, sure. These poor pandemic babies are terrified of life. And so we had to switch it up. And you know, so I use a lot of that humor and that to ease their anxiety and try to still get the information across without everybody being terrified.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like with humor, and my perspective too, is like people learn more when you inject a little humor throughout, you know, your performance. And that's what I really do feel that that is. When you're going into the exam rooms, you're putting on a performance for them. I mean, you're being your authentic self, but you really want to deliver something that can leave an impact and impression. Yeah. And throwing a little bit of the humor and you know, everything that you've been doing, I think it's so powerful. I just absolutely love it.
You're absolutely right. And you know, with it being a performance, just like you said, it, as you can imagine, you, the fatigue sets in when you're not able to be your authentic self and you're, you know, portraying this, you know, image of what you think you're supposed to be as a vet. And, you know, it adds on to the compassion fatigue, the anxiety and all that, that, you know, vets deal with. So it is nice being able to kind of let that go and be my authentic self and see it received well. You know, a lot of my clients are, you know, very happy with someone being able to just kind of talk to them and treat them as an equal, but, you know, knowing that I have a little more of the knowledge and you know, I want the best for their pet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have so many different clients that are out there and, you know, representation, as you and I know, are so, so important. So how do you advocate the importance of, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion within the veterinary industry with what you do every day?
Yeah. So it's multifaceted, I think, you know, and a lot of it is unconscious. So, you know, for instance, I, you know, try to be very authentic as far as who I am. I try to be, you know, hold myself, but other people accountable. Anytime I hear problematic comments from clients or colleagues or technicians or whoever, you know, I address it right then because I want the same in return. So I want everyone treated equally, but I also want, okay, if you see your colleague saying something that's a little problematic and it's not, you know, appropriate to be saying about someone, call them out on it. Talk, you know, say something to them and at least create that light bulb of like, maybe I shouldn't have said that, you know, or maybe I shouldn't be talking like that at work or whatever. So that's one portion of it. But, you know, also just kind of being present. Like I really want to be I want to be an example for, you know, young queer POC people, you know, in vet school coming up behind me of like, okay, this is terrifying. You know, I remember being in that place and, you know, so just kind of being an example of like, hey, I am doing the things, it can be done. No, it was not easy, but it's achievable, you know? So, you know, that's another way, but it's also, you know, somewhat unconscious and I'll admit, I often deal with a lot of microaggressions as far as like, oh, you're the doctor, even after saying, I'm Dr. Weaver and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, when's the doctor coming? Or, you know, things like that. And so, you know, it does hit you every once in a while, but it's like just still being that firm example of like, no, there's space for me. There's space for you. There is need for, you know, diversity in the field. And, you know, as long as I'm able to talk, that, you know, that will be kind of one of my bigger things, you know, along with like pet parent, you know, knowledge. I want to increase knowledge for pet parents, but I also, you know, I'm going to always be an advocate for, you know, creating space for diversity and making sure that the ones coming behind us have a fair opportunity to really get into this field, because there's so many avenues to the vet world. And I think some people, you know, don't realize how broad it is and how much you can truly kind of accomplish in this field. So, yeah.
And speaking of, you know, let's talk about the future generations of veterinarians, of veterinary technicians behind us. So what advice would you give for Black LGBTQ plus students considering a career in our wonderful profession?
Yeah. So what I've told to like high school students and vet students when they shadow me is coping skills. So coping mechanisms, I feel like in hindsight, if I had honed those things prior to vet school, the mental toll that vet school took and, you know, like internship, you know, took, it would have been I would have been able to handle it a little better. So, you know, I think coping skills are super important, like learning, meditating and breathing exercises and, you know, tapping and whatever other techniques help with the mental health, that's really important. But also like finding your tribe, finding your support system, and realizing that it may not include, you know, birth or, you know, birth parents or family. It may be chosen family that ends up being the biggest support system, but like holding on to that, you know, but also not being afraid to be the voice for the voiceless. And unfortunately, you know, being the minority in the field, like we still need a voice. And so even if you're like, for myself, I don't know if I would have deemed myself as a natural born leader. However, it's like, I refuse to not speak on these topics. And so, that's pretty much what I tell, you know, vet students and all coming up, and like get your coping skills, you know, hone them right now before the stress level gets to you, because it's going to help you be a really good doctor and just like breathe through the stressful days and not crumble and combat that compassion fatigue and you know, the mental health crisis that are going on with veterinarians. So I kind of gear a lot of my, you know, advice and guidance to like protecting your mental health, protecting your person, and you will be able to do great things as long as you are taking care of yourself. You see what I mean?
I love this. Wonderful. Okay, we're going to pivot to some fun questions for Dr. Weaver that I need to know. All right, so these are the things that are going to keep me up at night if I don't ask you these questions. Okay.
All right.
So what Hogwarts house are you?
I am a proud Hufflepuff house member of Hogwarts alum. That is 2012 alum status. Hufflepuff all day, though.
All day, every day.
Yeah. Yes.
What are you binge watching show-wise, TV, you know, streaming?
So I just binged a show called From, I think. It's on Prime. It's kind of weird. They're like stuck in this town, and then at night there's these creepy monsters that kill them, and they have to like protect the windows. It's very strange and yeah, twisted. I'm kind of into that. Zombies. I love anything zombie related. I need to binge The Last of Us. That's the newest zombie-esque show that I haven't seen yet, which I'm slacking. I'm slacking as a zombie enthusiast. I'm way behind in seeing that. But anything zombie or horror related, but also like aliens, because I think, you know, we're all probably part alien somewhere. Right. I like anything alien related. I'm basically a nerd.
I love it. So, you know, fun fact is I'm born on Halloween, so I love me some horror. And I got my dad joke for you, by the way, because what does a vegan zombie eat? What does a vegan zombie eat?
I don't know what.
Grains.
Oh boy, that one was, that one hurt.
Tough to okay. Swallow. The food that I would have day in and day out is?
Mac and cheese. Every single day. I am a mac and cheese snob.
But we got to level up now. Are we talking about the Kraft mac and cheese or the Velveeta ones?
Ooh, okay. So really any kind of mac and cheese. My fave is when they bake it with the crust, with the bread crumbs on the top, and it's like buttery and crispy. Yes, but any kind of mac and cheese. And I'm very much a snob when it comes to it. So any restaurant I go to, if they have mac and cheese on the menu, I have to order it. If it is not good, then I will let them know that it's not good. Yeah. But yeah, mac and cheese, I could eat every day, all day, and be quite fine. My GI tract would not be fine, but right. I would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why we're pop Imodium like Tic Tacs.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Dr. Audrey Weaver, where can we learn more about you and our friends at Heart and Paw? This has been wonderful.
You can always find us on the Heart and Paul website, our Facebook page. We're always posting. I'm always here at the Glen Mills location. We are doing a pet parent talk today, and we have some planned for the future. So today's talk is just on safety and hiking, and like what supplies to bring, and what boots or booties you should have, leashes, ticks, tick-borne diseases, snakes. We're talking about all of that. And then in the future, because I said my dream when I got into this role as partner doctor / medical director is I want to provide pet parent CEs, as I call it, because I do feel like pet parents should have continual education. We have some more coming up, including like mouth to snout, CPR, different toxins, things like that. So we'll be posting when those are coming up.
Love it. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Audrey Weaver. Continue being a beacon of light in this profession. So proud that you're in it with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you reaching out. This was fun.
Of course. My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this podcast, as always, helps us significantly as we grow the show. My God, I'm a poet. I don't know it. I just rhyme. Dropping beats over here.
Bars. Bars.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.